Welcome to Blaze Pod. It's Wednesday, the 10th of April. My name is Ben, and on the line, as always, it is Andrew. How's things today, mate?
Very good. Apologies for my internet signal last week. We got a couple of comments on it. They were awful. Don't know what was going on there, but hopefully the gremlin. What's that line of Partridge? A couple of gremlins in the system. Perhaps a metaphor for. Anyway,
I mean, it's very noble of you to take the blame for it. I got to say, it could well have been me. Although I did move into the kitchen, as you may have noticed from the echoey sound on the back half of it. Hopefully, it wasn't too unlistenable. But it seems like we're solid. We're solid this week, and we're both on Virgin Media, aren't we? So either way,
Branson's to blame. Branson's
either way,
to blame.
We can blame Branson. Yeah, exactly. But good. I'm glad you're doing well. We've got a couple of games to talk about, one in much more detail than the other, because neither of us were able to see the Liverpool game, so we're only really catching up on that via highlights and what other people are saying, I suppose. So I really want to focus much more on the Chelsea game, which is a 2-2 draw. Obviously, we lost 3-1 at Liverpool, although it sounds like that was a good performance, you know, much better than I think most of us were expecting. I certainly... was fearing an absolute battering in that one, with Liverpool looking to push their goal difference up, but actually managed to stay in the game till quite late in that one. But this Chelsea game, a 2-2 draw, I got to say, I feel real good about this result. Like the performance and the result.
Yeah.
I think that might be the happiest I've felt like the next day about United this season. Obviously, we have won a couple of games, but this one to me was like, do you know what? We did really, really well there against a very expensive team who are obviously have aspirations to be in the top four every season.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it as a game. I thought it was a really good game. I thought we played. I thought we actually deserved to win, if anything, to be honest. I mean, I've looked back at the highlights. Maybe that's been a bit biased. I'm not sure. But I thought we played really well. And, you know, I didn't see Liverpool game, but on the back of that and the I know we're only like a good 20 minutes, half an hour or whatever against Fulham. But it's actually been not too bad these last few weeks. It's sort of what I wanted for the entirety of the season, where I expected us to fall to some, you know, good quality and poor defending or whatever ourselves, but giving it a go, and we have given it a go in the past four games, and I think that's all we can ask for, really.
Yeah, really happy with, I guess, with the outcome of that Liverpool game in terms of, you know, a nice standard 2-goal defeat. We scored a good goal ourselves in that game, albeit an own goal, I suppose, but, you know, the move leading up to it was really good. And this one, I mean, we held Chelsea to 6 shots. That's absurd. Like, when you
for
look old. At... Well, I think for any... I mean, if they did that against, I don't know, Man United or Spurs or someone, I think they would be looking at themselves going, we've had a stinker there. And, you know, I know price tags aren't everything. In fact, Chelsea probably know this better than anyone, I suppose, but Enzo Fernandez was like 100 million. Caicedo was 100 million. Cole Palmer was like 60 million or something. And you've got players like Conor Gallagher's in the England squad. They spent like 40 million or so on Nicholas Jackson for some reason. I think that Cucurella, their left back, was about 50 million. Thiago Silva's like a, you know, Champions League stalwart. They've got Mudrick coming off the bench, who was like 60, 70 million. And we really did a good job on him. I mean, I think some of that maybe is down to their own approach and like the passivity in possession. But to hold them to just 6 shots and just 3 on target, and out, you know, we had 11 shots ourselves. I thought this was, again, like I said, after the Fulham game, about the best case scenario performance, I suppose, from our team against a team with much better players. And yeah, very proud at full time.
Yeah, it's the least we deserved. I was delighted we got that. I mean, even the West Ham game where we scored in the last minute, in that, I did celebrate it. I think I was sat with you for that, but it wasn't like a massive outlet of emotion or anything. This one I actually did really, really celebrate, because I thought, just because we deserved it, not because it's going to change the season or anything, but I think it would have been so harsh if we'd have lost that game. And who knows, you know, if the referee didn't get that ridiculous decision at the end, we might have won it.
Yeah, really, yeah. Okay. Make sure we remember to talk about that. I think the West Ham one, I think that was like a... For me, I was like, if we've got any hope, we have to win this game. So, you know, that late equaliser was like... It was a punch of the air. It was like, because I don't want to lose to West Ham, obviously, and a late equaliser is always nice. But the stage of the season we're at now, everything's just kind of moved into, they're just isolated games for me now. I'm just enjoying them on their own merits, if you like. And yeah, after getting battered at home for like four games in a row or whatever it was, the last two have been nothing if not entertaining. And you got to tip the hat a little bit to our goal scoring recently as well. I mean, that's we scored two in this one. We scored one at Anfield, three against Fulham the week before, two at Bournemouth, I think the game before that. That's not bad, you know, for a really bad team. That's pretty good.
yeah.
The last time we were in the Premier League, we obviously only scored 20 goals, I think it was. We've got 30 already with seven to go. And nicking this off Revolution on the S2 forum, he pointed out that in the season we finished ninth in the Premier League, we scored 39 goals. So we've got seven games left to equal or surpass that. If we scored 10 goals in our last seven games, we'll actually outdo the scoring of that ninth place finish, which I think is a real achievement.
Yeah. We do look like we're going to score goals. It's just the other, we know why we're going down, and it's mostly because of the other way, isn't it? The defence and the way that we defend as a team. And even in this game, that first goal, I was so angry again with it, because it's just, the same as like the Fulham goal, where I was like, we're not good enough to give these sort of goals away. Yeah. At least let them score like World is. You know what I mean? They've got all these multi-billion-pound players. At least let them, you know, force them to use them rather than just taking a crap corner where, like, they've tapped it in. But at the other end, like I say, we created a lot of chances, and I thought there was some really good play. Really happy with the midfield three. I thought they were fantastic. And last week I said, for the Fulham game, they were almost like a bittersweet thing with Berrett and Diaz and McBurnie playing so well, because these two players there who might not be here or probably won't be here next season, certainly in Berrett and Diaz's case, you'd have thought. Whereas this one, if we hold his nerve at least, anyway, you know, we should have Arblaster and Aimer there. And I think Aimer's playing a lot better in the past couple of weeks. And obviously Osborne, who is definitely playing for me, playing himself into a new contract. When we did our contract thing, about 3 months ago now? Yep. Like I said about him, and I think we were on the same page that he's been injured a lot, but I think we get him the 50-50, you know what I mean? See how it goes until the end of the season. And since Wilder's come in, he's been fantastic, Osborne.
He's been classic Osborne, hasn't he? Yeah, let's just zero in on him a little bit here, I suppose, because, yeah, I think Wilder said after this game that he's a player that, I think he said we do have a year option on him, right? Is that right?
Yeah, we're trying to sort something out for him, yeah.
Okay, so maybe it's not like like a club decision, we can just activate him, maybe it is a new deal. I'm still in like let's not rush this, I suppose. Partly because of his situation, where I think unlike McBurnie, there won't be a big queue of people for Osborne's signature. I can't remember who I saw say this week, but I thought it was spot on. Like how many teams in the Championship are starting Ben Osborne next season? Like it's probably less than three, right? Like
I don't know. Does he get in the Preston team? I don't know enough really about the.
Starting 35 games a season.
I can see these arguments completely, but you know we've said before, you know he's the Swiss Army knife, and we're going to have to build an entirely new squad. And there's a player. I know we've been linked with Paddy McNair as well. The two players, like if he comes in as well, who can play 40 positions in between them, which might be a big thing for his next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't misunderstand me here. So that. I'm kind of emphasising the lack of... I think there'll be a lack of a market for his signature, I suppose, which puts us in a position where we don't need to rush. We can take our time to... You know, we can see what the rest of the season holds. You're right, he has had some injury problems. Nowhere near as bad as some of our other players.
He's 31 now, I think, isn't he?
I'll check, but I imagine he's...
Looks about 12 still. But I imagine his wages will be fairly decent. So like, you're probably right that there's not going to be a big queue willing to pay him what we're paying him anyway.
Yeah, he's 29, by the way.
29, sorry. Yeah, put 2 years on him.
He stood up with Sharp, didn't you? I think Sharp was 36 for about 3 years.
Makes me feel better about my own age.
he turns 30 later this year, but he is 29 until he's 30. I think let's just wait and see on him. But you can't... I totally get the value thing, like definitely, because he can and has played left wing back pretty well on occasion, and that's more than can be said about some of our specialist left wing backs in the last few years. And he is that. Is he like massively good at any one thing in midfield? But the fact is, his baseline of performance is decent, isn't it? You know he's not going to give it away. He's generally going to try and move it forward to a more talented player. He's going to run all day. He's, you know, he has got some street smarts, I think, as a player as well. Like, he's, you know, he knows where to be, even though he's playing multiple positions. Yeah, I thought this was another really, really good performance from him. And yeah, he's definitely at the stage where if we announce, like, this week, we've given Osborne another year, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'm on board with that.
Do you know what? I'm thinking about this. There's an argument to say that he has better performances in the Premier League than the Championship. He was really good under Eckenbottom at the end of the last relegation season. Mm. And I wonder if that is because we don't have much of the ball, you know, and his energy alone is enough. When we have more possession, maybe he does struggle with that a little bit more. But as I said, the fact that we can pretty much put him in and... He's probably never realistically going to give you an 8 out of 10 or be man of the match. He was close this week, to be fair. But he very rarely gives you like a 4 out of 10 as well.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point about the out of possession thing. I think that's probably exactly what it is. Because, yeah, he did look good in that sort of back half of that Premier League season, didn't he? He was one of the few players to actually emerge with some credit that season. Yeah. Like him and McGoldrick and a couple of the defenders, maybe. But yeah, I thought he was really, really good against Chelsea as part of that three. Yeah, I thought Hamer was excellent again. Arblaster, I don't want to overinflate this, and I'm being a bit hypocritical because my BBC Sport thing this week is about Arblaster and how impressed I am with him. But I think I might have mentioned this last week. Like, I also don't want to kind of understate or underplay how impressive it is that he's just been parachuted into our central midfield in like the worst Premier League team this season and possibly ever. And he looks like totally fine at this level.
Mm. Yeah, someone put a comment to us. I think it were Fat Lad from Sheffield, not Billy Sharp. and I think he said, you know, he hopes that, you know, I said about Brooks that a lot of young players come in and they have like a good, like initial 3 or 4 games where it's all exciting and then they sort of peak, you know, and then they go down to a different level and have to come back again. And he said he worried like Arblaster doing that. I'm not seeing that. I'm not... Brooks were good, but I think you could, even when Brooks were playing well in his early games, you could still say he were a little bit wet behind the ears, I think it's fair to say. There were a few things that he did wrong, even though he showed a lot of potential. To me, Arblaster, he has made a couple of mistakes. He's the one in the game where he gets back and actually rectifies his own mistake with that unbelievable lung-busting run, you know, to get it back. Mm. But he looks the part to me. He needs to put a little bit of weight on and stuff like that. But there's nothing there that makes me think, I don't know, like he looks like he's a year ahead of something, I'd say, of Brooks or something like that. Because he looks like someone who's well aware of everything that's going on around him. He's just fitted in incredibly well in, as you say, a really, really poor side. And we can't overestimate how hard that is, you know, for a young lad to come in and be the best player on the park, I think, probably for the past 2 games, something like that. Or certainly this game, anyway.
Yeah. I've been really, really impressed. I mean, It's early days, obviously, for how many games he's played, but his stats are really good. I mean, no player in the league created as many chances in this weekend's round of fixtures as he did against Chelsea. And emphasis, again, he's going up against Enzo Fernandez and Caicedo and Gallagher and Palmer and all these.
Well, we're talking genuinely there, what, 400, 500 million, something? I don't know if I'm going too far with that, but we can't be far off.
This would be the thick end of three. I imagine if they... you know, shopped Gallagher, they would be getting 50, 60.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm thinking he came from Palace, obviously, didn't they? Yeah,
so they'd be, they'd probably be looking at 300 million for all of those, I suppose. although maybe not anymore, but certainly what Chelsea paid for him. Only McAtee and Hamer are creating open play chances at a higher rate than Arblaster has so far in our squad. But his pass completion is good as well. He has the highest pass completion of any midfielder this season. So you'd like... You know, you see that the completion rate and think like, oh, he's just like a shuttler. He's just getting it and touching it off. You know, not really doing anything. But he's not at all. He's very positive with the ball.
Because I think that's one of his major assets, which is interesting with the completion stats. Because I was about to say before you said that I like how he's always positive. He always looks forward. He gets the ball. If you notice, he's always like, right, who's the next pass up? Like you said, there's certain players who, especially in young players, you can't blame them. You want to keep it safe and, you know, not do anything too extravagant, just make your way in the game and in the team or whatever. But Arblaster tries things.
Yeah.
And they don't always come off. You know, there's a couple of things. I remember the Fulham game where we broke and he tried to take one of their players on and they tackled him. And you were like, no, you know what I mean? But... I like it in a way as well, because he's trying something like that. It's easier. The easiest thing to do would be to turn around and play it back and play it safe. But he always tries to go forward. And the fact his pass completion rates are so high is a testament to how good he's been playing.
Yeah. You're right. It would be so easy to just like come into this team, just keep, you know, think, I'll just keep my head down almost. Like, you know, what's going to keep me in this team is I just basically have to not be a total disaster. Like, I can just play safe essentially for 10 games and then, you know, see how we are in the summer and kick on next season. But no, he's playing without fear. You know, he looks like someone who doesn't have any scars from this season, because obviously he does not. And
it looks like he's enjoying it as well, I think. It looks like, as you said, I think with, understandably with some of our players this season, they'll kick off, and especially when they go 1-0 down, as we did in this game, there's like here we go again. You know, because they've had it that many times, and Arblast has not had that. But it's also interesting he's been playing that defensive midfield role, which we've struggled with all season in terms of, you know, Norwood's obviously looks like he's past his peak. Sousa's not done it for us, and we've tried to play Sousa with Arblaster. Look, this is not going to work every week, but I thought the balance of that midfield for the Premier League was spot on. It's not good enough still. You know, we only drew a miss fire in Chelsea. But from what we've seen for the rest of the season, I think that the best balance of the season, that midfield three.
Yeah. And it was one of the things we wanted to see for the rest of the season. And it was one of these young players kind of cementing themselves as like, okay, they are good enough to start for us, you know, at least sporadically next season. And the start that Arblast has made to his Blades career is very exciting. Like, I said this a few weeks ago, but like, I look forward to seeing him play at the moment, which I haven't been able to say about that many of our players this season. The idea of seeing him play like this against far inferior opposition than we played against on Sunday next season is quite tantalising. So let's hope he stays fit, stays in the team. I don't mean this to big up our chances, but of survival, obviously, which is still like, you know, less than 1%. But we don't have that many heavy hitters left on the on the schedule, I don't think.
And, you know, I'm looking at this. It's a real shame in a way that we made such a pig's ear of things. And look, we still haven't won since Luton away. We haven't won at home since Brentford in December. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to get carried away by, you know, a couple of decent performances. We're still very, you know, if we win two games between now and the end of the season, I'll be fairly happy with that, to be completely honest, with the way everything, because that's almost half of what we've won.
Yeah, no, I'd be really happy with that.
Whatever it's been. But at the same time, you do look at those fixtures and the way that we, you know, we've got a point against Bournemouth, Fulham and these sort of teams. We're up against teams like that and lower coming up, you know, your Brentford, Everton, Forest, Burnley. Mm-hmm. So there is a chance, and I think that especially the home games that we've got left now, they're all fairly exciting for me because this was the last one where I thought, oh, that could be a bit of a struggle. Chelsea, not very good, but they're going to have two more. It'll be 2 or 3 now, whatever. Now we've got Burnley's the next home game, which is, you know, could go either way. It's a good little test for us to see how far we've come on in the past couple of weeks. We've got Forest at home. We could send them down, or, you know, send them in, and that'd be fantastic. And then Tottenham, you could ruin Tottenham's season. So there's every game now, this at home, there's something to play for, even if it's not for us, even if we've been relegated.
Mm. Yes, it's suddenly become, the remaining fixtures are like, this could be exciting today. Like, we might actually see a competition, which really was all we wanted for the majority of the season, and which we haven't seen for the vast majority of the season. But yeah, performance like this against a talent-full team. I don't know if it is a talented team. It's bizarre, Chelsea. Like, I think Pochettino is a fantastic manager, and clearly they've got some brilliant players here, but what a mess. Like, real mess from them. I mean, we'll get to the goal in a second, but the next sort of 20 minutes after the goal, I was genuinely sort of nodding off a little bit in my seat, because I was like, nothing's happening. Like, Chelsea just knocking the ball around, like being really safe with it, and you know, this was before Hamer sort of had that long-range shot that Petrovic saved, which was our first sort of spark into life, if you like. But yeah, just a really disjointed team. I mean, I think Nicholas Jackson's Bob R, to be honest. He's probably the worst player to score against us this season, unless I'm missing somebody obvious.
He were off. I captained him in fantasy league, just thinking we've got that many goals into rubbish players that why not?
Yeah, but you look at the rest of them. I mean, Gallagher's tied at this level. Palmer's obviously having an absolute superstar season.
Really quiet, Palmer. because he's the one, obviously, that's been the one real standout for Chelsea this season.
You really have to wonder where they'd be in the table if, I don't know, say he'd been injured all season. I doubt Pochettino would still be the manager because I think they'd be much further down the league.
But there were one on The View from who said this would be a relegation six-pointer if not for Cole Palmer. So.
Just jumping back to our team, actually, we had a slightly surprising selection, I suppose.
Yeah.
Trusty at left wing-back.
But he did well against Salah, by all accounts. I didn't see the game, and you didn't either, against Liverpool. So maybe he deserved to keep his place for that.
Yeah, was that in a back four, that one, that time?
You put me in now.
No, I think it was, don't worry. Neither of us saw it, so.
I think it were five. I think okay. It were. I think yeah, it was because Robinson, Holgate, and Anel played. So yeah, it will have been a five. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he did all right, Trusty. I don't want to get too carried away because you know he kind of lets Madueke run off him for what proves to be the second goal. But I think as like an emergency left wing back, he did all right against good opposition. McBurney did not start at Liverpool, which breaks his streak of starts. But I actually was quite pleased with that. Cause
yeah, I agree.
This was a game I was obviously more invested in because I was going to it. And Osborne moves into midfield with Hamer and Arblaster, as you said. The opening goal is just, it just stinks. It's just awful defending yet again. Yeah, pretty standard corner drifted into the box. Silva runs off three of our players and just casually side foots it into the net from about 10 yards. I mean, it's a good finish, but at the same time, it's like, here's a free goal. Like, what are you doing? I know there's some blocking off that takes place, but it's not like illegal blocking off, is it? It's just players stood next to each other and none of them go with Silva.
I'm shaking my head thinking about it again. Every time I see it, I'm like, or any goal we concede off a corner now, I'm just shaking my head like a disappointed father or something. Like, just, yeah. How again? Are we doing this again? Like I say, these, you know, we should be conceding. I could accept us conceding fantastic goals. We have, to be fair, a lot of goals we conceded. You know, I'm thinking the who would have scored for Man U, Dalot or whatever I think it was.
Dalot, yeah.
And Arsenal scored a couple of absolutely fantastic goals against us as well. I can't think of the top of my head. Villa scored a really good goal. I think of that chip from Watkins.
Fulham, second and third goals.
Yeah. They're goals that you're like, you know, it's horrible, it's rubbish, but that's what I'm, you know, that's the quality of the opposition. This is just a nothing corner, really. And we concede different corners every week. That's what's quite amazing about it. Near post, far post, you know, we're not bothered. Shots on the floor, any will do. This were a little bit one like the goal against Liverpool. Were it Van Dijk who scored at Bramall Lane? Might have not been Van Dijk. No. Can't remember. They're just a low corner in, put in, goal. That's it, easy.
Yeah, I don't remember that Liverpool game very much. I remember the second goal. I don't remember the first one at all.
Yeah, we're just off another corner.
Another corner, yeah. No, we've been...
And by the way, Brentford, before I forget, Brentford are the best set piece team in the league, so...
Yeah. Oh, well. So that makes it 1-0. And then, yeah, Hamer has a good sort of... a good little run and shot that kind of... I don't know, kind of woke us up a little bit, I think, collectively, the crowd of like, oh, hang on, no, we can actually do something here. We can have a few moments ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we level. Bogle gets his second goal of the season. He only scored against Man City, I think, in the league anyway. This pass from Hamer is absolutely sensational. I don't know if do you get credited with an assist if it's... I mean, it's not an own goal, is it? It's gone down as Bogle's goal, this one. But
yeah, so it should be Hamer's fantastic assist that gets a... Yeah.
Oh, so good. What an absolutely brilliant pass with his left foot in... Inside Cucurella and Chalobah's the centre-back. And, Bogle runs onto it. I'm not really sure what Bogle's trying to do here, but he somehow passes it into the net via the goalkeeper.
I think it's Sky. It might be Giddens on Radio Sheffield. Where I can't remember what someone said. Well-placed. Is it?
Well, I suppose he placed it in off the goalkeeper's leg and it went in the goal, but... I'm not going to quibble with it. Diaz was there for the pullback, which I assume is what he was trying to do.
Another good game, to be fair to him. He's another one who... I think we've got an option on him. I think, again, for me, it'd be a no-brainer. Just if it is just a simple, an extension, there you go. Yes, it's an extender. There's two Partridge quotes today.
It's very good, yeah. You can tell you're... Madeley stuff's coming through.
I think, like, just giving an extension because... you know, are we going to get anyone better than him in the Championship for the money that we've got? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit hesitant. I feel like I've been here before.
Yeah.
I like Bogle a lot, but I feel like he does sort of two good games and then disappear, or like just stinks for like four or five. So
but he's only still really young, isn't he?
I mean, he is, but he's played like, I bet he's played 150 to 200 league games at this point. Like, you know, he's an experienced footballer. He's played 158 league games. That was a good guess, wasn't it? almost 200 in total. Yeah, he's 23. He'll turn 24 before next season. Like, yeah, I don't know. I sort of feel he is who he is at this point. I don't feel like he's going to turn into like Baldock levels defensively, but I still feel he's much better going forward. Although it still frustrates me a bit that I feel like he's still got really hesitant when he's got the ball at his feet. Like, obviously, this is a different situation, this goal, because he's, you know, he's practically in the 6-yard box when he receives it. But so many times, I'm like, is there an invisible line that you're not allowed to cross? Like, we've got five at the back. You can afford to push into a bit of space. But I'm nitpicking, I suppose. Incredible pass by Hamer, who I do think has been very good to push. But he's been, you know, one of maybe two players for us this season who I think have been Premier League quality. And yeah, I said last week he was in like the top 50 for chances created. I think this is 4 goals, 6 assists for him. I don't know if the goal against Liverpool, I think is gone down as an own goal, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's gone down as an own goal. I think if you look at all the signings that we made in the summer, I think there's an argument to say he's the only one that I'd be disappointed with if they weren't here. You know, obviously it's now evident we've had a really awful summer. I think you could possibly lose all of them who we signed in the summer, but Hamer's the one I think that'd be the most disappointing, by far, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not including Archer, who, to be fair, is alone, realistically, you know, or McAtee was alone. I'm talking about actual permanent signings.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing him next season for us, hopefully, Hamer.
Yeah. It looks like Coventry's not going to get in the playoffs, which is good, because I think they're the only one who might have to gamble on him.
Yeah, maybe. So that's one all. Yeah, I'll say it again. A sensational pass by Hamer. Absolutely fantastic. I don't believe we had any other real opportunities in the rest of the first half. Second half, again, I thought we came out, like, you know, just really threatening when we got the ball, in terms of we were trying to attack quickly, and we had more than a few times where you got Arblaster or even Osborne picking it up and running into space with it. McBurney headed one wide, which is a better chance than I thought, like, watching it back. You know, it's a great ball in by Diaz, and I think it's Chalobah's got a handful of McBurney's shirt in a way that's probably not going to get given as a foul, and he heads it just wide. There was a shot from Hamer, which I was convinced was in, by the way. Do you know the one I mean? Like, on the near post?
Yeah. I still, even like, when I look back at the replay of it, I'm like, I'm sure that went through the net.
It's like, yeah, it's one of those that gets rolled back and everyone goes, shoot, and he smashes it first time.
I'd say we're right behind him. I think that's him. That is in, but it wasn't.
Yeah, Petrovic certainly thought it was going in, but it flew wide. And then Chelsea retake the lead, 66th minute, from Madueke, who is not a player that they've spent money on, I believe, or at least, you know, he was like a youth prospect, I suppose, rather than you know, a £70 million ready-made player. And now, mate, we're going to have to do it. We are going to talk about Ivo Gerbic, because it has not been a good week for him, and it has not been a good start to his Blades career. It obviously got off to a bad start when he conceded 5 on his debut, and we didn't get, you know, then he got concussed in his next game, and I think came back for another 5-goal concession or something like that.
Yeah, then he let 1 in and then 6. That were his first 4 games. Look, in those early games, I think it's difficult to put too much blame on him. And I have seen, I told you before, that, you know, my dad doesn't blame him for that second goal on Sunday. I completely disagree with him. And I've seen other people say, you know, it's a fantastic shot. I can't get my head around the goal against Liverpool. I've seen people say, "Oh, he's looking for options. You know, you don't want to just hit it." And I understand that, but it's not even being like, you know, it's not as like it's like being really pressured by Darwin Nunes or anything like that. He's nowhere near him, really. Mm. That's an awful goal to concede. I think the other two people have pinned blame on him. Even the McAllister one, someone said he didn't dive very well.
Yeah, that one is about as unsavable as any shot I've ever seen. That one,
I think, it's a bit harsh. But this game again, it's just another game where I think if he'd have had a good season, you know, if we were talking about Dean Henderson that season when we went up, he barely made a mistake. I think I could be sat here going, do you know what? He'll be disappointed there. But I think it's just the fact that it's another goal that you're thinking, does he save any? I don't know. I can only think of one save that he's pulled off that I thought, that is a really decent save. That's against Fulham. You only saved it against the post. The rest of the saves that he's made, and I've seen the highlights of the Liverpool game, unless I've missed something, they've all been, yeah, I'd expect your average National League goalkeeper to save them, to be completely honest. They're not, you know, and I don't want to go in on him. It's a new country, new style of play. You know, an awful team he's been brought into. But he's really looking like a poor signing as it stands.
Well, and then some, yeah. So I had my eye on this before the Chelsea game, and it's got worse, obviously, with his performance in that one. So sample size caveats apply, but at the same time, it's not that small now. I think he's played 6.5 games in the league, and yeah, his advanced stats are absolutely shocking. He is worst in the Premier League for post-shot XG, so that's the expected goals of shots on target. And it's not even close. Like, he's worse by a distance out of every single goalkeeper in the league. If you do it, like, average it out to per 90 minutes, he's conceding over a goal a game more than an average keeper would. And he's only ahead of two keepers in that, one of whom has barely started, and the other one has made one injury time sub appearance. He has the second worst save percentage in the league of 58%, which is, I mean, that, you know, that basically tells you that every two shots on target are going in the goal. And then this is the most alarming thing for me, is that he's faced statistically the most savable shots on target in the league so far of anyone that's like played more than a couple of games. So that's if you take the average post-shot XG of all the shots he's faced. So it's not like he's facing like tons of really, really difficult shots. He's actually facing very savable shots, and they're ending up in the goal. So Wes was fifth in this category in terms of like the difficulty of shots that he's facing. So he's facing, like, on average, the fifth most unsavable shots in the league. Gerbich is 36th out of 38, I think it is. That's bad. That is literally you know, the worst / one of the worst in the Premier League. You've got your direct comp there with Wes. Like, we did a really bad job of protecting Wes, I think, and that's why he's conceded so many goals as an average goalkeeper. And we've done quite a decent job of protecting Gerbich, you know, overall over in these 6.5 games. And he's been real bad, mate. I mean, that's just shot stopping. We saw his kicking in this game. He looked like he'd never played the game before.
Yeah, that kick where, and there's no danger of him. I think it's Bogle who passes it back. I think it's Bogle. And you're thinking, yeah, he's got. And then you think, hang on, he's going to do it again. player's closing down. He kicks it out for a corner. Well, when goalkeepers lose confidence, it must be absolutely awful. And like I say, he's in a new country with a poor team and all this. I don't want to go in on him. I feel really bad going in on him. But you can only call, you know, we're doing a pod. There's no point in sort of dressing it up. I've seen people stick up for him. I can't see it. I think he's looked really, really poor. I don't think he's shown anything. If this were a young lad in goal, but we brought him from the youth team, a misser, for instance, you'd be saying he needs to come out. You know, he's just not ready yet. I don't know what we're doing. And there's all this talk about Johansson. He's come out that he's got £1 million release fee, which, you know, I don't know too much about him. I know everyone raves about him, but I don't know too much about him. The issue with that is, if he's got £1 million release fee, you'll think there'll be a lot of other teams after him as well. So I think people just like, get him in, get Johansson in. I don't know if we're stuck with this guy, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if we tried to offload him, to be honest. But, you know, I've heard it's not a Wilder signing. He just sort of took advice off other people, and if that's the case, I don't think he's the sort of manager who's just going to stick with it. You know, it's not worked out so far. We've got, I keep him in goal. I've seen people say they drop him for Wes. I don't think there's any point, because Wes is definitely not going to be here next season. And we said in our thing, I'd love to see him, you know, have the next seven games, say, oh, do you know what, he was just a dodgy spell when he first came in. I don't think that's beyond the realms of possibility, but as it stands, it's looking really, really, really bad as a signing.
Yeah, what he's put out there now has been really bad. I'm sure he can get better, because
has to be. He won't, and I think this is a poor argument when people, and even Wilder made it, to be fair, about, well, he can't be that bad if you know, he played in the Champions League. But at the same time, he can't be that bad if he plays in the Champions League, but from what we've seen so far, do you know what I mean? He can't be as bad as we've seen.
Yeah. It just doesn't seem to have any like redeeming qualities as a goalkeeper. I know people say he's like big Evo and stuff. He's not that tall. I mean, he's the same height as Aaron.
I don't know, mate. I saw him in Sainsbury's about a month ago, and he's a tall guy. But
he's the same height as Aaron Ramsdale, and I don't hear many people saying, you know, big Aaron, like it's dominating his penalty area and stuff. And anyway,
bear in mind, I'm about 3'5". So.
I'm gonna say. what was I going to say about this? Oh, yeah, and also, like, height is such a primitive way to view a goalkeeper anyway, isn't it? Like, unless you're playing, you know, kids football or something. Yeah. It's about your, like, your agility, your jump, well, your reach. And he doesn't appear to have one. Like, he just seems to fall over or sit down, and he's glued to his line. I mean, I'm no goalkeeper coach, but I think three times in the first half on Saturday, I was like doing my nut at the fact he'd not come off his line to clear, like pick up a ball. And I think Bogard had got him as well. And I wasn't really doing that with Wes this season, and certainly not last season. Like maybe the odd one, but that was by far his worst performance. Like with every aspect of goalkeeping, he was really bad at in that game, I thought. Without actually kicking one into his own net as he did against Liverpool, other than it was a really, really alarming performance that, kind of is the, I don't know, whatever the opposite of a cherry on top.
And as I said, we're coming up against Brentford next, who are brilliant at set pieces, and that is a concern, definitely.
I agree with you. I think it's imperative that he plays the last seven games. Like
we
have to know if he can get better or if we need to relegate him to a backup or even, as you kind of suggested, even try and move him on in the summer. Like we have to know that by this summer, not in a year's time. I don't want to be going into next season being like, okay, like he's had a pre-season. You know, if you take him out of the team, he's like, well, he's had a pre-season now, so hopefully he'll come good. And it turns out he actually is just like this in the Championship, and teams just bombard the penalty area.
The one sort of silver lining, if you like, of us already being relegated is that we can take...
Yeah,
we don't have to think short term, and the long term, you know, he's here, he has got a contract, so let him try and play himself into form. If I were Wilder, I'd be saying, look, you know, I won't say we're relegated, but you know, don't worry about it, just show us what you can do. You've got another seven games, you know, relax, see, and we'll see, we will know by the end of these seven games, I would think, whether we need a new goalkeeper next season. I think it's probably still too early to say that we do. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely sort of siding that way from everything that I've seen, but he's got another seven games. He has to play them all for me. I don't, even if he costs us points, because he's not really going to matter. So,
no, if he stinks, he stinks, but at least we'll know it now. I don't want to be going into next season thinking like, maybe he'll be better, like just because he hasn't played for 6 months or whatever at that point. Yeah. But yeah, it's, I mean, whoever's responsible for signing him, it's just bad, isn't it? In terms of, like, I still think we should have just stuck with Wes because he was already here.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I mean, you wave bye-bye to him in the summer if that's what you want to do. I'm easy.
The only thing I could think of with Wes is if he kicked up a stink, if he wanted a new contract and we said no, and he said, well, you know, I don't know if this has happened, but that'd make more sense, like, if you're not part of the team, you know.
Sign a keeper on loan.
I mean, I think we were after Schmeichel, weren't we? By all accounts, Kasper Schmeichel.
He was a free agent, I think. Wasn't
it? If we'd have got him on loan to the end of the season, he were playing like this. He's no harm done. But the fact that we've actually signed him, it's a £2 million there that we could have possibly spent on this Rotherham goalie. You know what I mean?
Well, quite, yeah. Or you know, that could have gone to someone's. I don't know what it works out as per week, £2.5 million, but that could have been somebody's contract next season. You know, a signing on bonus for a free agent that, you know, puts us like at the front of the queue. Let me see if I can work out how many. What's that? £2.5 million?
It seems like we made, I mean, I could be wrong, you know what I mean? But it seems like we made a snap decision, very like, right, Wes, I don't want him anymore. He's acting like this. Get me a goalie. This guy here, you know, he's, you know, out of world or whatever, have scouted him. He said, I'll get him in. Like, we can't do that. We've got enough money to do that. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah, absolutely. We should be penny pinching. I mean, we have been penny pinching. We didn't pay the bloody suppliers last season.
Yeah, exactly.
This just really, I don't know, it stands out. It's such a weirdly just a bit of business we didn't need to do, to be honest. I mean, I don't believe I put too many zeros in here. I think this checks out. But 2.5 million is 48 grand a week. Like, so, you know, you could have signed two players on 25 grand, basically, or 24 grand a week, which
could have given Max Lowe 48 grand a week.
So it's money you didn't need to spend, and that obviously doesn't take into account his wages as well. That is literally just anyway, this goal. Madueke cuts inside Trusty, who gives him far too easy a ride. You know, just gets into the box easy, hits a fierce shot into the top of the net. We're both sat on the cop. Me and my dad were like, "What's happened there?" And both immediately sort of said to each other at the same time, "I must have taken a deflection."
Yeah, everyone around us saying the same deflection. That,
did
yeah.
no take a deflection. he just knelt down, and the ball goes into the net. It's really poor goalkeeping. That if you saw it in League Two, you'd be like, "What the hell just happened there, mate?" What, I don't know what he's trying to do. He's trying to anticipate it going the other way, but yeah, it's just rubbish, isn't it?
Well, he's straight in the middle of the goal. He's straight. Like I say, I've seen people say, "Well, you know, he got caught out because he thought he were going that way." I've never played in goal to any sort of big standard, but I'd be surprised if there's any goalkeeper out there who's looked at that and thought, "Oh, he's unlucky there."
You know?
I think every goalkeeper, professional goalkeeper, probably fancy themselves to save that shot.
Yeah, and look, in this same game, you got Petrovic, who makes arguably a bigger mistake, like for Bogle's goal. But the difference is, like, Petrovic does good things as well. Whereas we haven't seen that.
Yeah, this is what I was saying about the Henderson thing. If Henderson had made that mistake against Liverpool, where he went through his legs, and we didn't go in on him to that, you know, because he'd been that good, he'd shown us how good he was.
Yeah.
So you could say that's a bad error, but no one was thinking about dropping him, were they, or anything like that.
No. Yeah. So he deserves the criticism for that goal as well as everything else that happened. Let me just see timeline wise how we what we did substitution wise. So that was go behind on 66 minutes. Oh, I should say actually 10 minutes for this, Jack Robinson a bit fortunate not to get sent off.
Brilliant. Love it. Absolutely loved it. Yeah, I thought it were off, I have to admit. I was like, ooh.
Everyone in the ground. See, that was what worried me, because I didn't have I'd had a few beers before the game, and it's a fair old distance from the cop, and I think it was slightly behind the pillar as well.
Yeah.
And the whole ground went, ooh, straight away. I thought, oh no, this is going to go badly. He slides through Palmer, nowhere near the ball, gets him halfway up the leg. Only gets a yellow card, and VAR say, yeah, just carry on. Yeah, he could so easily have been sent off for that, I think.
We
don't have many reds this season, have we? Like, I think Burnley, I saw this the other day, Burnley have got lead the league with red cards, and I was like, have you managed that, you idiot? How's that a record that we're not holding? But
yeah,
I think we only have three, right? Holgate.
Holgate, of course. Yeah, just the three sendings off for us. That's not too bad in a season like this, is it?
It's not really, but that could have been red. And if it was, we're probably sat here today talking about how stupid Jack Robinson is and how he's cost us the game, etc. But wasn't his best game overall, I thought, this one, but he was okay, I suppose.
Yeah.
So they then do make some changes after the goal. Cole Palmer goes off. We bring on McAtee for Holgate. And Archer for Trusty, and change shape a bit. I think Osborne goes back to left back, doesn't he?
That's right, yeah. Because I were a bit worried again, thinking, here we go, just lobbing strikers on Warnock style. We're just going to get caught out. But to be fair, we create chances and we deserve to equalise.
Yeah, we look dangerous from set pieces ourselves a little bit, didn't we? One, I don't know if it was a Nell, but there was a near post header. He almost headed it onto a defender's shoulder, I think, and it sort of just bounced wide of the near post. And then there was that one. I think Arblaster sends it in from miles away, and Robinson has like a free run at it and does really well to head it back across goal. And
good
save. Yeah.
There's a thing as well. I saw someone, I think it was on S2, say, would you expect Gribbich to have saved that one?
I don't know. I mean, he might, for all we know, from what we've seen, he might have just stood and looked at it. I mean, I don't know if it was going in from Robinson, but, you know, Petrovic had to by diving and pushing it away, punching it away, Petrovic, he stopped one of our other players knocking it in on the line, basically.
Yeah, he got it into a good area. Like, you know, because like I say, if he'd have passed it the other way, it'd have been tapping, so...
Yeah. Souza comes on for Jack Robinson as well, who does pick up an injury, Robinson. So hopefully he's okay, because, yeah, he has been one of our better performers this season.
I think I'm a bit concerned about that, because he doesn't normally go off or anything. Mm. You know, he's not normally injured. And we are short at the back, big time.
Yes, indeed. And we managed to get the deserved equaliser in the 93rd minute. Bit of head tennis, you know, Souza and McAtee keep it alive. I think Arblaster sends it in. Hamer out jumps Gallagher on the edge of the box. Archer gets a good little flick to it. McBurney's, you know, Johnny on the spot to volley it into the net from close range.
But they were queuing up, weren't they, to be fair? Like,
yeah.
to put it in. Again, brilliant, but again, my first thing was to look to the screen. Is this offside?
Yeah,
and then when it went to VAR, I'm like, here we go. And then, but, you know, it never been. You know, really, really poor defending, to be fair, from Chelsea.
Yeah, it's weird. I actually didn't I didn't really think about it being a offside for a good, 30 seconds or so, and then suddenly realised, oh, no, that's a thing that they do, isn't it?
Yeah, they rule these out, yeah.
Yeah, but no, clearly onside. Good initial header by Hamer, good little flick by Archer, and a nice finish by McBurney. That's his sixth goal of the season, so he's doing all right. That's how many he scored in that 2019-20 season, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And his goals, I mean, I don't have any start, but his goals to games can't be... It must be sort of 1-2 or something like that. I'm sure he's not scored. Has he started more than 12 games this season?
Let's see if I can find that while we're
I'll be surprised.
There was his 13th start.
Yeah, so he's nearly a goal every other game in the Premier League, which is a great return.
Yeah, well, in a team like this, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he's obviously scored in almost all of his home starts recently. He keeps finding the net.
And he's another one that, you know, people... I thought he had another good game, actually, McBurney. And I think he's another one that could very well... You know, I think if we lose him now, there's going to be a lot of people up in arms. That said, he put that tweet out with him in a United shirt, and I'd say... just from what I've seen, I'd say 70% of people saying, sign a contract, and then the other 30% going, he's rubbish, he's always injured. So he's still sort of dividing opinion somewhat.
I think... In the credit column, at least when he plays now, he is good. And by now, I mean the last two years.
Yeah, completely agree.
Which
with
is
that.
An improvement on the preceding 2 years. I'm more convinced than ever that we pushed the boat out for him in terms of contractually to keep him.
He did his interview. I don't know if you've seen it. I've only seen the highlights, to be fair. He says he'd like to play for Rangers one day, but people said that's it, he's going to Rangers, but. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if Rangers are even interested in him.
Yeah, he probably would score about a billion goals for them, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
He'd have a good time. A great moment when this goes in. I was absolutely elated, obviously. And then we almost get a penalty right at the death.
I was so angry here. I don't normally boo referees off because I think it's almost... I feel like a bit of a child with booing. You know, I'm in my 40s. Booing. I actually booed the referee off this because I was absolutely furious with that he gave this.
Prior to this, I forgot to mention this, but a whopping 5 minutes of added time given.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah,
I mean, was funny.
Look, I don't think they should have been 14 or anything like last week, but at the same time, they were what, 8 subs? 9 subs?
7 subs, I think.
7 subs.
Palmer was down injured when Robinson did him, and they, you know,
Robinson
had
the check
for that.
Himself.
Robinson was injured himself. They had a... I guess the equalising goal was prior to the 5 minutes.
That's
but
true.
But yeah, I was laughing at it only being 5 minutes. And again, you just can't help but be like, well, United are losing, so there's no need to give more than 5 minutes, really.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we equalise and we end up playing to 98 minutes or something like that, which I know is because of the goal going in and stuff. But yeah, it's not a good look, is it?
No. But like you say, that as soon as we scored after that, with that incident, I mean, I don't know if it's a penalty or not. I suppose it is a penalty to us. It's certainly not a free kick.
So what happens here, there's a ball. We go straight back on the attack, and I really did think we were going to nick it here because Chelsea were gone.
Gone.
Really rattled, and you could see that at the full-time whistle, which I'll hopefully remember to talk about as well. The ball gets headed away, and it is sort of it landing to Hamer and Caicedo, and Caicedo gets a little bump from Hamer, but nowhere near enough to knock him over, and it does knock him over. And then while the ball's dropping, the referee's not blowing his whistle at this point. No. While the ball's dropping, Caicedo reaches up to catch the ball. And then I actually wonder if the referee gave a foul for this. Hamer, like,
I think he did.
Kicks it out of his hands almost. Mm. Now, to me, it seems like the decision would be for handball. Like, the guy reached up and grabbed the ball. I think he took the easy way out and just gave a defensive free kick. It's like,
I mean, I think he was looking for... What I didn't understand at first is, what I really... Because I didn't see it until after the replay of it, is I thought he'd initially give it for the barge.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, what I was so angry about is it took him ages to blow on his... He was, like, looking at it. And then he... And I'm like, he didn't know. Do you know what I mean? He just wanted to give it. But looking back, I don't think he gives it for the foul. I think he gives it for Hamer kicking him. But it's after he's handballed it, so I don't understand it.
Yeah. No, really baffling. Anel gets immediately booked in the aftermath. So that's the quickest yellow card for dissent ever. I'd love to know what he said.
I think we've got three players on bookings, by the way, for the next game. I think it's Bogle, Anel, and the usual suspects. I can't remember who the other one is. It might be Robinson.
Oh, what? So they're one from a suspension?
Yeah, sorry, one from a suspension, yeah.
Yeah, fair dues. And that was basically the last act of the game. And yes, roundly booed off the referee, kind of as a result of that, I suppose, and probably the injury time thing as well. I clapped him off after the Fulham. I don't mean to be like, oh, I'm such a good fan or anything, but I felt they really did deserve applause after the Fulham game in terms of, all right, we coughed up a 2-goal lead late on, but actually did play well in that game, and we're pretty unlucky not to win. Whereas, this one as well, I felt we've played about as well as we could possibly play against a talented team. And we kind of got that feel-good feeling of a late equaliser that, rubs the opposition's nose in it. I mean, I'm sure we'll plug the view from before the end of it,
but they were furious.
Highly miserable at full-time.
Yeah, no, I've watched a few of their vlogs as well. Like, and they're, understandable. I've seen some people say, oh, disrespecting us. We are a bad side. If you look at your Chelsea, think about what Chelsea...
It should be a free win, especially if you're just beating Man United in the week and you're on a high.
Absolutely. And you've just, you spent millions, the past two decades of Chelsea, be one of the best teams in England. And they're looking at us, this team, who everyone's saying is as bad as Derby County. And they've drawn. And it comes a week after they've drawn to Burnley at home.
Yeah, that's true. They were Burnley were down to 10 men for ages, weren't they, I think? Yeah. It's not great for them. And really noticeable at full time, I thought, that I think two of their players went over to their fans. Like, even Silva, the captain, I think he only went to sort of the centre circle and gave a clap and then walked off. So, it made me... The full time feeling was like, oh, yeah, this is why I love United. This like underdog, I'm looking at the expensive, overpriced players of the opposition thinking, I'd rather support a team like United, even with everything that's gone on this season. I'd rather be a Blades fan than a Chelsea fan right now. You can keep your silverware and your Champions League and all this. we've got Ole Arblaster and McBurney, the big idiot, scoring last-minute goals.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Like I say, it came out with a massive high because more than anything, I think, the difference with the West Ham game, and we did deserve a draw against West Ham as well, but I think that we're arguably the best performance of the season considering who we're playing. Our wins this season have come against Luton, who they're obviously having a good season in the sense that they're giving it a go, but they're not, they're still one of the three or four worst teams in the league. We've beat an injury at Brentford and a Wolves team who are decent, but they're not as good as Chelsea. So I think, on the whole, arguably the best performance of the season.
Yeah, I think, the most impressive result of the season, I'd say, as well, even though it's a draw, not a win. I mean, you could say the draw away at Villa when we drew 1-1, but we were rubbish in that game.
I thought we were awful in that game.
Same with Brighton, I guess.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that takes us to 16 points, which makes us, I believe, we are now the joint third worst Premier League team of all time. So that's
Never sing that.
We nudge ahead of the 2005-06 Sunderland team, who only got 15 points.
Yeah.
We're going to smash the goal difference, I think, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah, I'm up for that.
I'm not sure who has the worst.
Am I right thinking then that's two wins for a... Is it two wins or two wins and a point to reach last year's last relegation total?
We need another 7 points. So we've got 23 points that season, which is amazing. I I think I keep saying we only got 21, but we must
we
have
barely won. Drew that season.
Yeah, we won 7 games, didn't we? I think that's another thing, actually. We now it's now impossible for us to lose more games than we did that season. Even if we lose our last 7, we will only equal the amount of defeats that season. Another win would take us up to... It'd take us past Huddersfield in 18-19 and Villa in 2015-16. Only got 17 points somehow. Small targets.
Like I say, if we can get... Well, one of the aims, I still think it's unrealistic. Finish above Burnley and get above 20 points. You know, I'm not going to be happy, but it's at least something you can go down and say, there's something to build on there.
Yeah. Yeah, which I have, you know, the last week or so of United, you know, that Fulham game, the Liverpool game, which, yeah, all right, I didn't see, but sounds like it was, you know, quite encouraging. And this game, I feel more upbeat about us than I have done for long stretches this season. So, well done, United. Thanks for the, that was the other thing. I sort of came out of the ground being like, the game actually, my enjoyment of the game kind of matched my enjoyment of, like, the pre-match stuff, you know, with everyone, and how much I enjoy that. And yeah, there's been so few times this season where that's happened. So yes, we'll take it. Brentford next at the weekend. Yeah, which suddenly feels like maybe we could get something out of that, even with those set piece stats you're mentioning. And then Burnley is the next home game, isn't it? On the week after that, is that right?
Yeah, week after that. Is it Man U in between, or is it Man U after Burnley?
Oh God, I've no idea when we played Man U. That got rearranged recently, didn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember if that's
after Burnley.
Because I were a little concerned, but I'm thinking I'd be, you know, we've got a midweek game where they won't have one, Burnley. So, but nice to have a week off to the big El Crapio, as it's being called.
let's see how we get on at Brentford. Is that our first time at that ground, actually? I think it might be, isn't it?
Yeah, it has to be. I would have thought. Yeah.
Yeah, they're still at Griffin Park when we last came out. Yeah. And then we switched places, I think.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope everyone who's going has a gets a good result to see. Yes, I think that's everything, mate. Any other final notes from this game? I think we've been quite comprehensive there, I think.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else to add. I think we've done over an hour again or something like that. So, you know, but he deserves it because it was a good performance.
Yeah, good performance, great result. Thoroughly enjoyed it. What do you want to plug before you wrap up?
So I do have The View from Chelsea, which is worth a read.
Because it's a good read,
And it's like the old Championship days, but like, we lost points to them, they're rubbish and all that, but it's always a good laugh. The Maidler World Cup is the second round is done. The voting's out. Vote on it if you want. Go on Living with Maidler 1 to vote for who you want to get through to the quarterfinals of the best sitcom of the last 30 years.
When does the voting close? Is it next Saturday?
Sunday. Sunday, yeah.
So if you're listening to this before Sunday, then get on it. You've still got time. Go to
Gavin and Stacey in Total London, 50% each at the moment. So that's the closest one.
Oof. Nice. Yeah. Roughly how many votes cast? There were a good couple of hundred.
I think it's about 2,500.
Oof, wowzers. Yeah. That has captured the imagination.
Yeah, people love the thought, aren't they? Yeah, I think just look, give me 2 seconds and I'll tell you. Thanks to everyone who's voted and listened and everything, obviously, as well. But I'm really enjoying doing it. There are a lot of shocks, actually, that I thought, certain sitcoms would go through. Let me have a look. 2,600 votes has been. So.
Still 50-50.
And each one as well, so yeah.
Is that still 50-50?
Gavin and Stacey is now 50.2% and Chelsea London's 49.8%. So
it's getting exciting now. So, four or five more days to vote for that. What have I done? My BBC Sport thing is indeed about our blaster. I'll tweet a link out to that after this podcast goes live and maybe shove it in the show description as well. And there will be another Women of Steel soon. They're on an international break. They don't play for another 2 weeks. But I already started writing something for it. So look out for that probably towards the end of this week, I think. That's womenofsteel.substack.com. I think that's everything, mate. Any other final things to mention?
No, looking forward to the games, actually. I'm like, the Burnley game, I'm like, I wish it were this Saturday.
Yeah, that would have been good, wouldn't it? But never mind. We'll keep us waiting one more week. Yeah, got to. I feel like I can potentially enjoy these last few home games. Which is,
yeah,
it's a novel experience, I suppose. Raimo, well, thanks so much for your time. I do appreciate it. And thanks everyone for listening. And yeah, I'll catch up with you soon, pal.
Yep, thanks a lot, mate. Cheers.